Hi, my name is Evan Robbins, CFFF Trent Radio's full-time broadcast journalist through the Local Journalism Initiative. The following is a panel discussion which aired live on Thursday, May 7th. If you'd like to hear more news recap and analysis, like what you're about to hear, tune in live to 92.7 FM or trentradio.ca at 5 p.m. on Thursdays, or check out news.trentradio.ca and frequencynews.ca for full archived episodes. Good afternoon, Peterborough. My name is Evan Robbins. We are live here in Studio A, and I am joined today by two friends of mine, two colleagues, two fellow reporters in this fine city of Peterborough. And we are here to talk. It's my first staff show of the year. Every Thursday, I'm going to be here either interviewing a member of the local community or doing a sort of news recap segment. And this week, for our first ever such Thursday, I'm joined by editor-in-chief of Arthur, Trent's radical independent student newspaper, David King.
Hello.
And politics and city hall reporter for the Peterborough Examiner, Sebastian Johnson-Lindsay.
Hello there.
Hi, both. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure.
And we're here to talk about municipal nominations for the Peterborough municipal election, which just opened this week, or 6 days ago.
Yes.
So we, the three of us, were all at Peterborough City Hall on Friday, May the 1st, the day that nominations opened. We were there from about 9 to 4:30, thereabouts, almost a full work day at City Hall, talking to people, talking to candidates as they registered and came out. Sebastian, can you run us through who are the candidates for mayor and who do we think are the front runners at this point in time?
Oh, no.
That's a great question. So, on Friday, how many people came out that day? Michael Lehman was the first one, bright and early in the morning, 9 o'clock a.m.
Three mayoral candidates on Friday, and I think five council nominees?
Yeah, sounds about right. We can bring it all up here. But yeah, so Michael Lehman registered bright and early in the morning. Of course, the principal of Trail College at Trent University. In terms of mayoral candidates, he was then followed by Rebecca Shillamat, who came in later that day. And then Keith Riel came in later on in the afternoon. Obviously, longtime Ashburnham Ward councillor. This will be his, he's served now four terms. He's rounding out his fourth term on council. So he's been around the block a little bit. Then on Monday morning, Neil Morton stopped by City Hall to officially register, becoming the fourth candidate. Entrepreneur. Serial entrepreneur. And then later that same day, I'm given to understand a young Trent student came forward as well. So there are five.
Yeah. So that Trent student, no one's been able to get a hold of him as far as I know.
I've been able to get in contact with him.
Except Joel. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's Jacob. He is a gentleman by the name of Jacob Mateau. And Jacob submitted, he's an English literature student. Both colleagues of mine, Ian Van Segbrick and Alan Barnier, are in the same program as him. So they were shocked when I told him that, or I told them that he's running for mayor. So I'm meeting up with Jacob at some point in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Just to talk about, just to talk about why he's running. This is an interesting sort of mayoral candidate, or I guess like slew of them. Sorry, I'm probably talking really loudly. Because this is a 20-year-old Trent student and also has like engaged a lot with Arthur this year. And I know him through, he submitted to satire articles about some really interesting sort of trend happening. So it's really, to see his name again was really interesting for me. So I immediately reached out to him and he got back to me really quickly. So,
yeah. So the day he registered, my colleague Joel Kovach interviewed him and he has an interesting campaign. He says he's not going to spend any money.
Yeah.
He's really driven to get students out and engaged in municipal politics. One quote that he's told to my colleague here is, if I can make it more well known to students how to register, how to vote, and how to participate while challenging the status quo of municipal politics, I'll be happy, he said. So I'm sure that will be echoed in any subsequent interview that Arthur does.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be really, I think it'll be interesting to observe the student interest and turnout in this year's municipal election, just because there's been a lot of things that have come to the forefront for a lot of students, especially things like transit, issues like that. I'm really hoping to see more students out at the out at the polls this year. It'd be really, really interesting. I think that's a big point of our coverage as well. So, yeah.
And so, speaking of the candidates, we have one candidate who has political experience who has sat for 16 years on council. But apart from Keith Riel, all of the candidates are relative newcomers, and some of them like brand new to politics.
Yeah.
Sebastian, from your perspective, who is off to a really strong start? Who has like a good foot up? Where do you think we stand in terms of the race as it's shaping up?
So it's a really good question. There are still 20 weeks left in this election campaign. It's difficult to say because no one's really done anything on the campaign trail. I mean, I guess Neil had the campaign launch on Monday. Keith had one last night. Everyone are just they're just kind of talking in generalities. I know Rebecca did as well on Monday. Neil technically wasn't campaign launch, but he signed his papers. He has one coming up at the end of the month on the 26th of May. Everyone's just like dipping their toes in at this point in time. No one's really, you know, delving too deeply into the issues. No one really has any specific answers to any questions that we seem to be putting forward
yeah.
to them. And I don't know if that's necessarily an expectation to have of people specifically who haven't been in political life before. I think the one person who does have some substantial answers, at least in like a speaking from experience and speaking from being on the inside, is Riel, just as a result of the fact that he's been there for so long. But I mean, even then, you know, he's talking about you know, having timelines and promises that he'll get to, and he'll. But that's an impossible sort of promise to be making this early in a campaign, I think. There's still so much. The most interesting thing to me so far has been speaking to some of the candidates about, you know, some of the big news that has been happening in the community recently, like the commitment of $57 million potentially for the event center downtown, and how candidates are kind of feeling about that. I spoke to Leslie Parnell earlier today. She was one of the four councillors who voted in favor of a deferral, specifically on that motion on Monday night. And she just reiterated the concerns that she has about ensuring that this isn't a complete burden on the municipal taxpayer, and that there is support for this coming from all levels of government, including the county, the province, and the federal levels there, and all the partners in between. There's been a lot of reporting in the Examiner this week by my colleagues Mike Davies and Joelle Kovac, again, about this issue and sort of where some of these leaders at all these different levels sort of stand. And I think as this kind of moves forward, some of the candidates who aren't in the middle of making these decisions will be forced to sort of make it known. It's easy for incumbents to kind of speak to this with relative ease. But it'll be interesting to see. Yeah.
David, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I agree that there, I don't think we should expect actionables from a lot of these people at this point, especially when we have quite a few incumbents registering early. There is a lot of just discussion around affordability, though. That seems to be the emergent sort of issue for a lot of these candidates. There's also a lot of discussion and a general discussion about bringing business to Peterborough and trying to work with the county to get serviceable development lands, especially for industrial use. That's an issue that I've been seeing quite a bit of people talk about, especially online and in discussion of the municipal election, is attracting large employers to the area that provide like well-paying and stable employment, especially after the departure of industry, with most recently Simons leaving back to, I believe it's Welland, or returning to those operations there, reducing. And there's like, I think the economic and job makeup of Peterborough at the moment, there's a lot of short-term and contract-based employment that leaves a lot of people in precarious positions. So I think, I feel that a lot of, especially we're hearing this from the people running for council seats as well, that they want to push to have not only more development lands, but invite more industry in. But at the same time, too, there's a lot of talk about reducing the taxpayer burden while also, it just feels like a lot of the actionables revolve around reducing the taxpayer burden, but not switching the sort of tax ratio on or putting more of a tax burden on commercial, which is interesting, especially because like 70% of the city of Peterborough's operating revenue is from municipal taxpayers. So yeah, that's the thing to take away from all of that.
To David's point, we've been hearing a lot of conversation about reducing the tax burden, and in general, a lot of candidates saying that the tax rate increases over the past 2 years or more have been too high. Now, Sebastian, you've covered the last three budgets in significant detail. How realistic do you think it is to campaign on an inflationary or reduced tax rate increase?
That's a good question. I think it's been four budgets now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it really?
I think so. I think my first one was the 2023 budget. That's besides the point. People can say whatever they want on the campaign trail until they're actually sitting in the seat. It's not going to really, I don't think they're going to truly understand the, unless they've been sitting there through all of these budgets to see how the sausage is made, so to speak. I don't think it's easy to say. The reality is, and I mean even Keith Riel running on this idea of, reducing the burden, reducing the tax rate increase, when it comes down to it, city staff show time and time again the sort of impossible situation that councillors are put in every single year as a result of a number of different factors, but primarily the expectation that the municipality provides services that at one point were provided by the province. The lack of, provincial and federal investments in certain aspects, at least to the extent that they need to be to make up for the massive infrastructure shortfalls that we continually see year after year. The city continually falls further and further behind on necessary repairs, necessary projects that would make the community a better place and may increase the assessment value. And it becomes a vicious cycle. All that to say, people are going to talk and people are going to say a lot of things. And I'm jaded enough at this point. I haven't covered enough budget cycles to realize that it's a lot of talk. And when it comes down to it, councillors aren't really willing to make those big cuts because they see the pushback that comes from the community. And ultimately, where those cuts come from time and time again are the small things and the arts and culture and the social services. I shouldn't say small, but relatively small in relation to the larger projects that are being pushed forward by staff and ultimately by council, i.e. the police station.
Yeah.
That's a big one last year.
Sure. And I think to that point, I have a clip from Keith Riel's campaign launch of him talking a little bit about that when pressed about whether or not his a potential Keith Riel mayor would see cuts to things like social services and arts in come budget time. And I'll just play that now.
Treat. And what I'm saying by that, historically, half of the council is brand new. So we need to get together, introduce ourselves, and get to know each other. But then prioritize what they said at the door or what they heard at the door. And when you put that on a whiteboard and you put 11 names across, including myself, and you go down and there's a laundry list on that whiteboard, you're going to see three or four things that are priorities. That's your priorities for the next 4 years. Then you turn to the finance people and said, what's it going to cost us to do that? So there are things that are going to be fall by the wayside, but we have to set the priorities. This throwing a dart at a dartboard is not working. So I have a business mind. We have to try and run this as a business. And certainly, some of the things that you mentioned, I think we have to look at it, like supporting the arts. That's a big deal for me. I think it's an economic driver, and they've made a good case that it can be an economic driver. One of the big things with the city, we brought economic development in. That's supposed to be a driver for the city. So we need to get on that.
So what we're hearing from Keith is that he says he wants to run the city like a business. He wants to balance the books. He wants to bring in new revenue while still allocating for these things he considers important. But what I think is really interesting about that clip is this idea of setting priorities for the city. And looking at the slate of candidates we have, the things they're talking about, David, you mentioned affordability as a priority for some of the candidates earlier. What do you think, inclusive of or besides that, are really going to come down to be the priorities as this race continues to shape up?
Yeah, I think a couple of emergent priorities that we're already hearing from both new and incumbent candidates for specifically council seats. We're hearing a lot about housing affordability and adding to pre-existing housing stock. We're hearing a lot more about especially the intensification of Peterborough and further development of Peterborough. Councillor Joy LaChica mentioned that she would be amenable to proposing and working on a renoviction bylaw, which is really quite interesting considering that we generally don't think about, we think about renoviction being an issue in larger cities like Hamilton and Toronto, but at the same time too, it does occur in Peterborough. So really briefly, renoviction is when a landlord effectively serves renoviction, or not, sorry, serves eviction papers to a tenant effectively to evict the tenant, renovate a space or a unit, and then effectively at times jack the rent up and rent it out to a new tenant. And this, the way that the LaChica cites the city of Hamilton's renoviction bylaw, where you have to obtain a license to renovate, especially when you serve in N13, I believe. And I think that would curtail a lot of the sort of bad faith landlord-tenant relationships that we hear a lot about, especially in the city of Peterborough. There's quite a bit of renters in Peterborough as well. Yeah, there seems to be, with in respect to issues that we're also hearing from councillors, there's like a lot of talk about this effort to sort of clean up the downtown without really naming specifics. There's a lot, especially with Keith's launch last night, he talked a lot about cleaning up the downtown. There's a lot of talk about that. There's also a lot of talk about the divisions on council, which is really interesting, and working to collaborate. And I guess with the last 4 years of council, there is a very interesting divide in terms of politics. You can see that in a lot of motions regarding future developments, motions regarding, say, something like the music. That's been kind of frustrating people that they can't cross this divide and work together a lot of the time. And even a lot of new candidates like Northcrest Ward candidate Philippe Jolicoeur said that he's really interested in relationship building, especially through his work in nonprofits, which is an interesting sort of position to take. That seems to be the emerging thing that comes out in the forefront, is not only collaboration, but how the city communicates itself to the public, especially because the city has really, really struggled with that and really has gotten itself into quite a few situations, especially with what happened with Bonnerworth Park, where the city struggled to sort of communicate itself in this situation. And then the public and the neighboring area did not feel sufficiently consulted. And lo and behold, the events of the great pickleball debate, as Sebastian coined it, sort of happened based on effectively miscommunication, right? So those are some of the things that sort of are sort of emerging from especially council candidates. I don't know if you have anything to add, Sebastian.
Well, I was going to say that there is one candidate who seems to have given a concrete vision of what cleaning up the downtown means, and that's Neil Morton. He cited the initiative taken by the late Anne Farquharson and Councillor Alex Burke to paint garbage cans in downtown by themselves.
Oh yeah.
And said that he wants to bring more people in into the mechanics of the city and help make that part of the revitalization effort. Sebastian, I believe that you covered that sort of guerrilla sprucing up of the downtown yes. for the Examiner.
I did.
How realistic do you think that is as a viable strategy?
Not at all. They were Anne Farquharson is a legend who took it upon herself to consult city staff to get the exact Pantone of industrial paint that the city uses for all of its amenities, including street lamps and garbage cans downtown. Purchased two cans and then enticed Councillor Alex Burke down from his Hunter Street studio to paint a garden under the pretense of having fries at St. Veronis.
Beautiful.
To then paint a garbage can. Yeah, I wrote about that. Yeah, not at all. Now, the thing is, quickly the city realized that this is not something that they would be able to do in any fast way, any realistically. I think for about 2 weeks there, they started going around and doing something similar. City staff were sent around to inspect garbage cans and spray paint them. But then ultimately what ended up happening is they just removed some that were just broken beyond repair.
Yeah.
So you ended up with a bunch of really nicely painted, dented garbage cans.
That's a striking image for how the city of Peterborough is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. I find it very interesting, going back to another point, just very quickly.
Of course.
The notion of running the city like a business. This is something that you hear a lot of. This is something that the city is not a business. It's just not a business. It provides a service for people to create and maintain people living within it. It is a service provider. Obviously, it will make money and it will spend money and will employ people. But bringing a business mindset, maybe I'm belying my politics here, is just, it doesn't work. We see it time and time again, every single budget season, it does not work. Because ultimately, the human realities of what it would take to run it like a business constantly comes to bear upon the consciousness and the consciences of some of these councillors. Not all, but some of them. And again, it just comes down to, there's a lot of talk right now, and there's no real... There's nothing really being proposed at this point. Not that I really expect there to be. I mean, everyone's just having fun. This is kind of like the high times before the dog days of summer. And things will get more serious later on. But we'll see. That emergent narrative that you hear every single, and you read in the comments on every single social media thread about around budget time. I want a businessman. I want a business. Well, look at how that's working. You know, we have a banker for a prime minister. What's his impulse? Cut services.
Yeah.
I want to switch gears a bit, and I want to talk a little bit about councillors. We've been talking a lot about mayoral candidates, but we've also been talking about Alex Burke and Joy LaChica, both of whom are running for re-election in Town Ward. So far, I believe there are four incumbents, not counting Keith Riel, who are running to defend their seats. In addition to Alex and Joy, there is Gary Baldwin in Ashburnham Ward and Matt Crowley in Monaghan Ward.
So
I think looking at this list of candidates, the two of you, do you think that there are going to be some upsets in some of these wards? Do you think that the incumbents likely have a shoe-in? And where do you think we're liable to see the biggest shakeups come election day?
If I can start, I think that Gary Baldwin is a very easy shoe-in for Ashburnham Ward. He was actually encouraged to run again. By constituents and by also his family, I believe, when I talked to him on Monday about it. And he is extremely communicative and is a very, he told me he will just go to a person's house because he's retired and doesn't have a job and being a counselor is his job right now. So he'll just straight up show up at people's houses. And so I think that that communicativeness really works for a lot of people. It'll really be interesting to see Ashburnham Ward. I know that Ashley Bonner is a newcomer, but Ashley Bonner is quite active in East City in particular. So that is yet to be seen, but that'll be an interesting ward to watch. I think Dave Hakey in Northcrest is not running. I know that Andrew Beamer is. I believe he registered as well.
Not yet.
No.
He will tomorrow.
Yeah. So,
sources are saying.
Sources. Andrew Beamer is
citation. Andrew Beamer, the guy.
He texts me to tell me.
Yeah. But I believe that one to watch will be, I think, Atanabe Ward, especially because we've got an incumbent already registered to run there, Leslie Parnell, and Chris Potter, who is a newcomer. I think that'll be an interesting ward to watch. I also believe that there is, I think, like, town, like, to be honest with you, I think that town ward is, like, is very strongly Alan Joyce, but I also think that Jessica has an interesting vision as well that I have learned a little bit more about, and I think we'll just see. That's one to watch too. I think all of it's one to watch. Like, this is going to be a fun election, guys. It I just is. Want everybody to have fun.
Everyone's already having fun. Yeah, for sure. I hope they continue to.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. To pick up on David's point there, autonomy will be very interesting. Yeah. I have this. We'll see if it bears out, but I think there is, this is a fraught term, but like a silent majority of people who are very, very happy with Jeff Leal and the way that he has orchestrated the city around this idea of funding the police to the nth degree. And I think that that contingent, if mobilized to vote in the outer sort of rings of suburbs in the city, thinking specifically of Atanabe out there in Monaghan and Northcrest and aspects of Ashburnham as well, will result in a return for some of these candidates who have stood by Jeff Leal. Specifically, going off of, I absolutely agree with David, Gary Baldwin has a very good chance, absolutely, as does Leslie Parnell, and Kevin Duguay, who will eventually be running again as an incumbent in Otonabee, will also sort of, I think, benefit from that. It becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy when you sort of see everything online and you kind of get out, you have to get out of that bubble. And I've been really pushing myself to do that, and consider the fact that, you know, Jeff Leal won in 2022 for a reason. And I think that reason was a lot of people who aren't engaged in these sorts of conversations and sit back and watch and are quietly very pleased, are not concerned by any of the integrity commissioner conduct or anything like that. They just want to, you know, maintain public safety, to maintain certain institutions such as the police, and keep the property taxes relatively low. I think they see in Jeff Leal over the past 4 years, you know, maybe a little bit of a loose cannon, but I don't know how much character comes to play in these sorts of discussions. I think the loudest people might not represent the majority of voters or people who come out to vote.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I mean, that remains to be seen. There's a scenario, of course, where all the people who engage in online discourse of this nature all come out en masse, and, you know, 60% of the population votes, and that extra 20% comes specifically from people who are outraged by Jeff Leal.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are the real? I don't know what the realistic expectations of that are. I mean, we see it every single provincial election. You know, everyone talks about how much they hate Doug Ford, but when it comes down to brass tacks, you know, the Conservatives just keep winning. So I think we're just we're in a similar situation here.
All right. Well, I think that's all the time we have. Thank you so much both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
And if you want to read Sebastian's work, you can pick up a copy of the Peterborough Examiner, subscribe online. And if you want to read David King's reporting, visit www.trentarthur.ca. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
This discussion was originally broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF 92.7 FM, on Thursday, May 7th at 5 p.m. This news program was produced by Evan Robbins, Trent Radio's full-time broadcast journalist through the Local Journalism Initiative. Our theme music is Greenpoint by Local Talent. Thank you for listening.